Well, good morning, everyone. We also greet you in the name of our Lord. You would turn to Psalm chapter 95. The note here from Brother Marvin mentions worship. And so as we read this passage, we want to keep worship in mind. And there's 11 verses in this passage. It's interesting that verse 6, which would be like in the center of the chapter, you'd have five verses before it and five verses that would follow. That verse says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. The word worship, both in Hebrew and Greek, literally means to bow oneself down in adoration and submission. And so as you look at the first five verses, you will see the expression of adoration. And you look at the last five verses, you will see the thought of submission. So sort of keep that in mind as an outline as we read this chapter. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, It is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest." Let's come before the Lord in prayer.
Morning. As Paul has already given you a bit of an outline for the sermon this morning, we could just call it quits. To be honest, this morning, I feel rather inadequate, unworthy to stand here and to speak on the topic of worship. And the sermon this morning is an assignment that was given in the CBE class, and I thought I might as well kill two birds with one stone. So that is the reason for the topic on worship this morning. So it starts out there in the first verse, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. And Paul mentioned verse 6, O come, let us worship. So I would like to call us this morning to worship. To worship who? I would like to call us this morning to worship the one true living God, the one that is everything we could ever hope for, is everything we ever need. And as we look through this, verse 6 is, I believe, the key verse in this chapter. As I studied, I maybe have, in some places, I have more questions than I had before I started. I guess that's good. That means I don't understand it all. If we can understand everything, our God's not so great. This Bible isn't so great. But as we look at a call to worship, I would like to notice the word come there in verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. So come requires action on your part, requires action on my part. There is action involved. And I believe there are a number of ways that we can come to worship God this morning. So there's three different ways I want to look at this morning of ways to come to worship God. And then there are a number of ways that I believe we can bring our worship to God. I believe there's differences here in coming and actually worshiping. So first, as we think of the word come to worship, let us look at the ways we can come. And these are not exhaustive. There's many different ways. Three that first came to my mind. When we come requires action. I believe we can come in body just as we did this morning. As we gathered together, we came, we got up, we got dressed, maybe had breakfast, whatever. We got in our vehicles, we drove, we came to a place to worship God. Corporate worship is another word for that, as we have come to worship. Hebrews 10:25 is a very familiar verse of scripture that during COVID had been repeated many, many times. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So as we come in body, we come appropriately, we come prepared, we come to worship. Another way I believe we can come in the is in spirit or in attitude. I first in my notes I had attitude, and I thought, well, that sounds a little harsh maybe. But in spirit, our attitude and our spirit normally are in line with one another. If we have a bad attitude, we're not going to be in a good spirit. So we must have a proper spirit or attitude as we come to worship God. And we're going to mention a little bit later, but worship, I believe, that is inward. That is an inward action that we do. So the things we see outwardly is our reaction or our act upon our worship. So as we come in the proper spirit and attitude, we must be humble. We must be humble. There is no room. There is no room at all, none for any attitude of pride, a boastful attitude. Psalms 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So as we come to worship, as we come with the proper spirit or attitude, we will come humbly. We will come recognizing who we are, our inabilities, our inadequacy, our unworthiness to be able to come before the God of heaven, the one true living God, and in verse 6, our Maker. Have I had a wrong spirit or attitude when I've come to corporate worship? Yes, I have. Question for you, and you answer to yourself, have I come with a wrong attitude or spirit? We must be of the right frame of mind and heart to worship God. Thirdly, a way I believe we can come to worship God is in private. In our private time, in our devotions, as we have already mentioned, as we go through our daily lives, we need to have a proper spirit, proper attitude, and we will come in body, but we can come privately to worship. We need to set aside a time to sit down and maybe to meditate. First of all, read and meditate what God is speaking to us, to you, through a particular portion of Scripture. And as A young person, I did not do well at personal devotions. As an older person, a middle-aged young person, I didn't do very well either. And I determined to sit down and read a chapter every day. Well, let me tell you, that was a challenge at first. Get up early in the morning, and some days my mornings are much earlier than others, and to take that time to sit down for 15 minutes was a challenge. But as I did that, and it became, I don't want to use the word a habit or a routine, but as it became part of my activity of the day, God worked through His Word. He brought changes into my life that I had struggled with for many years. And I thought of Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Daniel was a devout young man, maybe by this time an older man, I guess. But as he met with God three times a day, he knelt at that open window. He was worshiping God. He was bowing before Him. And Daniel 6, verse 10 says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house. And his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." That was a challenge as I think about Daniel. Would I kneel at an open window when I know that if certain individuals seen me, I would possibly, I'd be thrown into the lion's den, or I'd be beheaded, or I'd be tortured or persecuted? That is a challenge for each of us. But as in our private time, as we come before God, as we worship Him in that way, how do we meet with Him? Do we meet there with an open heart? Do we meet there humbly? Are we doing it just to get a box checked off? Why are we doing it? So we have looked at three ways that we can come to worship. Three different places that possibly you could say we come to worship. In body, we come. In spirit or in attitude, we come. And in private, we come. And as we come privately, I'm backing up here a minute. As we come privately throughout the week, when we come in body to corporate worship like this morning will have much more value. Our worship will be in spirit and in truth. I'm not sure if it was in one of the classes that Ken had on worship or if it was in a book we read, I don't remember. But we cannot worship God only on Sunday morning. If we do not worship God throughout the week in our private lives, when we come to worship God on a Sunday morning, it is not true worship. So as we have looked at those three different ways, there's many more ways that we can come before God and worship Him. Let's look at some ways to worship. I believe there are many different ways that we can worship God. This morning, we have done a number of them. We have sang songs. We have maybe heard some testimonies. Just looking here, verses also say about making joyful noise. I didn't look into joyful noise a whole lot, but that's sort of beside the point at this. I'm sort of jumping ahead. So let us look at singing. Singing. There's a lot of verses in Scripture referred to singing. But as we come together this morning, in verse 1 it says, "Let us sing unto the Lord," as we have already done. You know, sometimes when you're sitting in a worship service and you sing a song, some songs just really tug at the heart. For some individuals, one song will, another song won't. Each of our worship services will, or each of our services in our worship will affect each of us differently. So a number of verses that speak of singing. Psalms 100 verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Song of Solomon 2 verse 12, and I could have maybe read a couple more verses there. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. And as I sat and thought about that a little bit this morning, yesterday afternoon, Camden and I were sitting out in a deer stand, and it was a little cold. We're close to winter. There's not too many songbirds around. You hear a lot of crows hollering and woodpeckers and all kinds of other birds, but I heard a songbird. I don't know what it was, but it really stuck out. That bird, amongst all the other birds that are making all the noise, was singing. And I thought about that. Am I like that bird? Am I like the songbird in the world today? There's many people around us making a lot of noise, but are they worshiping God? Also, it brought a thought to my mind. Those of our number that are going through physical trials, we can worship God. We are called to worship God. It doesn't matter where we are. That songbird, I don't believe, is looking forwards to winter, but it was singing to its creator. And as we go through physical trials and maybe are in a stage of winter in our lives, we can and should be singing to the Lord. Isaiah 44, verse 23, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye large parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. As I read over that verse, Isaiah here is calling for the mountains, the lower parts of the earth, the trees, the forest, to sing. And if we do not sing, we know the rocks are going to cry forth. God is going to receive the praise and the worship that he deserves. So I hope that we are part of that as we sing. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And another one is Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We have much to sing about. We have much to be thankful for. That's only a few of many verses in Scripture that talks about singing. You know, in Revelations, it talks about the angels singing. And I believe all the saints are singing. We are going to be singing throughout eternity to bring worship to God as he sits on the throne. Another way that I believe we can, a way to worship is with thanksgiving, as it says there in the second verse, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. And as we have just went through the Thanksgiving season, I hope it doesn't stop, as we have much, very much to be thankful for. We live in a land that we are richly blessed. And I hope we recognize as we go through life, I hope we recognize those physical blessings. You know, not everyone in the world experiences the physical blessings that we do here in this land. And we should be thankful. But as we realize and recognize the spiritual blessings that everyone around the world has access to and is available to, we should be even more thankful. We should praise. And a verse I have here to read, Psalms 26:7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving, that we may give testimony, that we may speak it aloud, our thanks to God. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of thy wondrous works. We should not be able to hold our thanksgiving back. And I have, along with thanksgiving, is testimony and praise. You know, sometimes a thanksgiving can just be praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes we need to get up and tell. You know, God works in many ways. I'm going to share an experience I had here, probably sort of a guess, 12 years ago maybe. I maybe have shared it with a few. I was working for H&H at the time, and me and another guy were going down towards between Baltimore and Washington off a route 27, I believe that is. I forget, it's been a long time. But it was early on a winter morning, and when you get off Route 70, you're going west on Route 70, it's a left-hand exit, two lanes, and they go under an underpass. It was still dark, and I was ahead of the other guy, and I seen stopped traffic ahead of me. And it was very short notice. I don't know that I would have been able to get stopped till I responded and my reaction time and all that. But I looked in my mirror to the left, and there was an open spot. And it was such the time in the morning that there really shouldn't have been an open spot there. And the truck behind me, we were both able to get over and go past the scene of an accident where there was black ice. They were under the bridge, and there was people standing between the vehicles. And I said to the other driver that was a miracle. God opened that left lane to prevent us from being involved in certain fatality. And I praise the Lord for that. He is good. And there's been many other times where God has protected each one of us. Many times we don't even realize. And we need to be thankful. So we can bring our worship to God with thanksgiving. Psalm 69:30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Another one in Psalms 100:4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And lastly, Psalms 147:7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. We are commanded to sing and worship God. So let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. As I said, I didn't look into joyful noise a whole lot, but our singing and our thanksgiving is joyful noise to the Lord. You know, some of us can sing, some of us may be able to sing, some of us may feel like we can't sing. We can make a joyful noise. Other joyful noises, I believe there are many. I think laughter. Laughter can be a joyful noise to the Lord, providing we are not laughing at someone or laughing about the wrong thing. I think even a possibility would be a crying of a newborn baby. What about the noises that we make as we go about the day when we're working to honor God? Just the noise, I believe, can bring worship to God. A reason to worship. We are given here in verse 3, we are given a reason to worship. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. We are given one of many reasons to worship God. When I ask myself this question, a song came to my mind, one of my favorites. And I think I'm going to ask Colin, if he don't mind at this time, to lead us in 138, How Great Thou Art. And as we sing this song, think of what you're singing. Don't worry about whether you're singing the right notes. Think about the words that you're singing, Brother Colin.
One, three, and four. 138 in the green. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider God to thee.
worship God because of his greatness. In verses 4 and 5 of this chapter, in his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of it, the hills, is his also. Verse 5, the sea is his and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Seeing God in creation, seeing God in our backyards. You know, as we may at times marvel at the mountains, maybe not so much around here, but as we go west and you see the great Rocky Mountains and the vastness, the size of them, the beauty, the snow-capped mountains, we may sit in awe and wonder of the Creator. I've seen National Geographic videos about caves, the deep places of the earth that I have no desire to go. But there are many creatures, and some of those caves are unbelievable. And God knows them. He created them. It just should bring us to wonder, and we should be in awe at our Creator. And when we find ourselves in sitting or standing and gazing at something, and we are in wonder and awe of Him, the Maker, we are worshiping God. The ocean, the seas, the vastness, the size, the amount of water, the life that is within them is incredible. You know, you can stand on the sea shore and listen to the waves crash and crash and crash. It never stops. Should be a reminder of God's love for us. It never ends. Just keeps coming again and again and again. And then the moisture as it evaporates and waters the dry land that God formed with his hands. And this week, as I was sitting in the mountains, seeing many different valleys and ridges, and at the bottom of all them is a little stream that flows away, or at least a drainage ditch, that when it rains, it all drains to the sea. I realize there are some places, there are swamps, but is there anyone sitting here this morning that would be a good enough engineer to design the river, the stream and river system that we have, that most of the water makes it to the sea, to return in rain and to come upon the dry land again, provides life for each of us. Many years ago, the rivers were the source of transportation. They were a life source, and they still are. So those are a few reasons, the greatness of God and why we should worship Him, why we should bring our worship to Him. And as we worship Him, in verse 6, we are to bow down before Him. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And as I looked into the word bow and the word kneel, the definition for the word bow, the Eastern mode of salutation, by kneeling upon one knee and bending the head forward till it touched the ground. We normally don't bow like that. We do bow in prayer, but we normally don't bow outwardly in that way in our culture. And I believe that as a person bows in that manner, if we imagine ourselves bowing before God, we are bowing in humility, we are bowing with reverence, and we are bowing to honor Him. And when someone is in a bowed position, you are about as vulnerable as you're going to be. Falling prostrate on the ground would be even more vulnerable. But it is a symbol of submission, as Paul has already mentioned. As we kneel upon our knees, it's to bend the knee. And what I could find was to fall upon the knee in adoration, in thanksgiving, in praise, to just immediately or suddenly fall upon our knees to worship. So as I've looked into these two different words, as some resources, they're very familiar, similar. Other ones, they are vastly different. So I actually have more questions about that than answers, what that really means there. But I would like us to think this morning as bowing inwardly, bowing before God with our hearts, because our worship comes from within us, as I mentioned earlier. So as we bow before Him to bring Him worship, or let us worship and bow down, let us bow our hearts in submission, in humility, in reverence, in honor to God. And as we bow our hearts inwardly, if we have our hearts bowed as we come in corporate worship and we kneel before our Maker, our worship will be in spirit and in truth. Our attitudes, our spirit will be right. We will be full of thanksgiving and praise. We won't be afraid to give testimony. So as we come with our hearts bowed inwardly, and when we have bowed our hearts to God in worship, we will fall to our knees outwardly, because we worship God inwardly, and as we worship God in our hearts, we should not be able to keep it in. It should come out. It will result in action. So, the last five verses take us back, and I'm going to just go over these quickly, take us back to the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt. Let's just read over them. Psalms 95, verses 7 to 11. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart. I'm going to stop there for a moment. If our hearts are bowed in worship to God, they will be soft and pliable. They will not be hardened. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, Brother Duane went back to the last two verses of chapter 21, I believe it was, where the scribes and the Pharisees perceived that Jesus was talking about them. And this is exactly what they did. They hardened their hearts. They did not. They perceived, they knew, but they weren't willing to accept it. So let us harden not our hearts, as in the provocation, as Israel did when they were tempting God in the wilderness, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. When they wanted the rock to spring forth water, when they were grumbling, when Moses struck the rock instead of speaking to it, they were tempting God. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. We know that everyone that was alive as the tribe of Israel, the children of Israel, did not enter into the promised land. They did not enter into that rest. Last Sunday, Ken talked about the joy that we can enter into for eternity if we harden not our hearts. If our hearts are soft and pliable and we bow them before our God in worship, we will bring worship in spirit and in truth. So in closing, I want to leave a challenge with you. First, I want to call you to worship God in your daily lives, not only here on a Sunday morning, but in your daily lives, because it will make a difference. You can't just make it look good on Sunday. You cannot fool God. You might be able to fool people, but you cannot fool God. And it will, as we have a personal time with God, it'll change our lives. It'll give us a proper spirit, a proper attitude when we come to worship. And our worshiping, our corporate worship, will be in spirit and in truth. And then you will not be sitting there looking at me or whoever is standing here as the person performing. How well of a sermon did they bring? But each of you, each of us, will be performing and giving our worship to God. Each of us can be a performer and performing worship to God. So I challenge you and I call you to worship God in your daily lives, in your personal time with God. Thank you.
We ask that all who are able that you would stand for closing prayer.